all done. Okay, we are on Yudim Abeis. Yudim Abeis, the Mishnah had said that if you were designated three birds from before Yantif, and when you went in on Yantif and you found two birds, so the halacha is that mutarin. You can assume that the two birds that are left are not two new birds, but they're two of the three that you designated. So the Gemara asked, should we say that this Mishnah is only according to Rabbi and not the Rabbanan? Because we have a similar machlokas in terms of Maaser Sheni. By Maaser Sheni, if you put Maaser Sheni money away in a drawer, and you either put 200 there and there's 100 left, or you put 100 there and there's 200 left, either way, Rebbe says you could assume that whatever's left is your money, plus or minus more. If you had put 200 there, there's 100 left, you could assume the 100 left is Maaser Sheni. If you had put 100 there and now there's 200, you have to assume that there's Maaser Sheni and Hulin mixed in. So Rebbe says whenever there's a change in what was there, you could assume it's what you put is there, but it was changed a little bit. While the Chachamim say no, once there's a different amount of money, then you assume that it's a different money altogether, and therefore it's all Hulin. So ask the Gemara, is our Mishnah only according to Rebbe and not the Rabbanan? Because Rebbe is the one that says that leftovers are there. Just like in our Mishnah, 3 to 2, you can assume 2 is there. So the Gemara had given one answer on the fourth wide line. Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. No, even our Mishnah might be according to the Rabbanan as well. The Rabbanan who say that by Maaser Sheni, you have to assume that it's totally different money. Even if it's an exactly parallel case from 200 to 100, you have to assume that the 100 left is not Maaser Sheni money. Why? Why? Because birds are different. The Rabbanan would agree that birds, they walk around a little bit. So there's a chance that one of them might have gone and walked away. By money doesn't walk. So if there's a change in the money, it must be because you changed the entire amount and you don't remember. And therefore, the Rabbanan could agree in our Mishnah that 3 to 2, the two that are left, are part of the original three. So now I ask the Gemara. So why did the Gemara have to come on to this answer to fit the Rabbanan into our Mishnah? Why did they have to say that, you know what? Because birds are different than money, because birds are able to walk. There's a more fundamental answer that the Gemara could have given, a different way to explain how the Rabbanan could fit into our Mishnah. How so? As follows. Because there is an explanation that according to the following, the Rabbanan and Rebbe wouldn't even argue in a case that's parallel to our Mishnah. So why do you have to come on to the answer of Hov Asuyin Ladados? You could have said the following. What's the following? Let's see. The following. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar had another machlokas. One of them said that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan is only by two kisin. Meaning, you had put $200 in the drawer, but in two separate pouches. Two separate pouches. That's where there's a machlokas between them. Whether, if you only have 100 left, do you assume that that's 100 of the 200? That's Rebbe. Or do you assume, no, it's totally different? But if it's all in one pouch, then everybody would agree. Even the Rabbanan would agree, even Rebbe would agree, I'm sorry, that it's chulun there. Because if it's all one pouch, and there was one pouch with 200, and now there's only one pouch there that has 100, it must be that you changed everything. So therefore, everybody would agree that the money there is not what it used to be. That's one opinion of the pshat of the machlokas. The chad amar bekis echon machlokas. And the other opinion, in Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, holds that no. Machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan is by kis echad, if they're all in the same pouch. Aval b'shnei kisin, but if they were in different pouches, then divrei akol mana munach umana mutal. Then everybody would agree that what's there is what was there. Even the Rabbanan would agree if it's in two separate pouches. So this is two versions, pshatim, of the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Again, Rebbe holds that whatever's there you could assume was there, and now it's just more or less. And the Rabbanan say, no, if it's a changed item, so therefore it must be totally new. So we just had a machlokas explaining that machlokas. Is that machlokas about a two-pouch case, or is that machlokas about a one-pouch case? So ask the Gemara. Bish l'malamanta amar bishnei kisin machlokas. I understand, according to the opinion that says that the machlokas between them is by two pouches. So if that's the explanation, so our Mishnah is like a two-pouch case, right? Because every chicken is separate. So if every chicken is separate, then our mishnah is like a two-pouch case. So if there's a machlokes about that case, that's why three lines ago, the Gemara had to say, how could the Rabbanan read our mishnah? Is our mishnah only like Rebbe? The Gemara had to say, no, it could even be according to the Rabbanan, because birds move a little bit, and money doesn't move by itself. That's why we had to come up with that answer. That's why we had to come up with the answer before that birds are different. On three lines to the bottom, but according to the opinion that explained the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, that there is only a machlokas by kis echad, but by shnei kisin, if the money had been in two pouches in the drawer, then everybody would agree. What's left is what was. So then the Gemara now asks, why did we have to give an answer before to be machalic between birds and money? Birds move by themselves and money doesn't. There's a much easier answer that the Gemara could have given. Ha'amr b'shnei kisin lo pligi. We just said, according to this explanation, that they don't argue in a case of two pouches. And our case of birds is like a case of two pouches. So why did the Gemara come up with a new kimta? The Gemara could have said, no kimta. They never argued in a case like our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Hacha begozalos mekusharim vekisim mekusharim askinon. Says the Gemara, no. Our case, says Rav Ashi, the case of one kiss is still more parallel to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not like a case of two kisin. Our Mishnah is like a case of one pouch. And even according to the explanation that they all argue about one pouch, in the case of the money, that would be the case that's parallel to our Mishnah. Why? Because we're talking about cases that the birds are tied to each other. They're all tied up to each other. And the pouches are all tied up to each other. And still, that's the chiluk between the Mishnayos, between the sources. Goes alos menaski ha'adadi, kisel menaski ha'adadi. Birds could get out of their tie, they could jump out of it. Money, once they're tied up, it doesn't separate. And therefore, that's why the Rabbanan would be machalik and say that by the birds case, I'll admit, if there's two left out of three, you could assume those are two out of three that are left. While by the money case, if they were tied up originally, so then if there's a different amount now, you have to assume that they all left and now new money is there. That is why you have to give that explanation, even according to the opinion that explains the machlokes by kis echad. For Rebbe Amalacha, what would Rebbe say? Rebbe, who compares the cases. Rebbe, who says that both in the birds case and in the money case, you could assume what's there is what was left. Amalacha, kisim nami, zirin de mesachel katrayu. There are times that ropes and ties, you know, rot and they rip. So even if money is together, it could very well be that you took one of them and you left one of them. Again, it come up lamaisa in certain cases. Let's say I designate stucco. I put some stucco away in my drawer. And all of a sudden, I see there's a different amount there. I don't remember. Did I add money to it? Is this the stucco money? Did I move the stucco money to somewhere else? You know, if I put stucco money in a certain pocket of mine always, and I find a different amount, where did I get this 20 from? And you're like, you don't remember. Like, what? So this has to do with that. Do you assume it was added? Do you assume it was not? So that is part of the issue here. Okay. Yud Aleph and Aleph on top. B'sochachan u'matzal afnei hakan asurin. Says the Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah had said, if you had designated birds inside the chicken coop, and you find them in front of the chicken coop, so then usur, then usur. Lema mesayli, why? Because you have to assume these birds came from outside and not from in the coop. Ask the Gemara like we did yesterday. Lema mesayli Rabbi Chanina, dam Rabbi Chanina, rov akarav halachei sal rov. Is this Mishnah a support of Rabbi Chanina? As Rabbi Chanina said, when you have a not a contradiction, but you have two, you're being pulled in two directions. The rove, the majority, is pulling you in one direction. And the karov, what's close, is pulling you in the other direction. Says Rabbi Chanina, you go after the karov. You follow the karov. And here too, should we say that if you find it besocha khan, and you find it lefnei hakan, you find the birds in front of the khan, should we say that you go after, Rabbi Chanina says you go after the rove. And here too, maybe that's a proof to him, because you follow the rove birds in the world. You don't follow karov, what was in the chicken coop. Like we said yesterday, this might be based on how rove and karov work. Rove might be a birur, that if there's a rove, so then I assume that this vaday happened. right? Rove brewers from the world, and therefore I can assume this happened. Karov is not really a birur, it's what we call a hachra. You don't really know what happens, but the Torah says in the case of Safek, this is what you decide. If you have a Safek Tumen, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's Tameh. Why? Is that because it's Vada happened? No! The Torah says this is how you act in a case of Safek. But Lav Dafka, that's the Emes. It's what we call a Hachra, not a Birur. Birur is obviously a better way to go than Hachra. Birur is stronger than Hachra. So Sub explained, that's the Svar of Rabbi Chanina, that Rov beats Karov because Rov is based on functioning as a Birur, and Karov is more of a Hachra. So, is this Mishnah approved to Rabbi Chanina? So, no, two answers. Amar Abaye B'daf. Abaye answers, like we quoted yesterday, no, maybe it's talking about a daf, meaning you have a board in front of the Khan where birds from all over sit on. So, therefore, there's Karov in both directions here. It's not a case of Rove versus Karov, but Rove birds are from the world, and even Karov, there are birds from the world, because they sit right on this Khan also, right by the daf, and therefore, this is not approved to him. Rav Amar, a second answer. No, this is the Ukimta, this is the case that of the Mishnah. Bishnei Kinin Zu Lamala Mizu Askinon. We're talking about a case of two chicken coops, one on top of the other. And what's the case? The case is, you have birds in front of both of them, but you only designated from one of them, from before Yantif. And the next day, you go and find birds in the one you designated, but not in the one that you didn't designate. There had been birds in both. The question is, could you assume the birds that you found in the one that you designated are the ones that you designated? Or do you have to say, you know what, maybe my birds flew away. And the ones from the other Shovach came into this Shovach. That's the case of the Mishnah, that you have to assume Aser. And not only in a case where you designated in the lower Khan and you did not designate in the upper Khan, and you found in the one that you designated, but you didn't find in the other one, there to Asirin, you have to say it's Asir. Why? You have to assume that maybe the ones that you designated in the lower one flew away, and the birds from on top slid down. So that's for sure Aser, because it's easier, the Gemara assumes, for birds who can't fly to slide down. So in that case, you have to assume these birds came from elsewhere, but not only in that case. Ela afilu zimin be'el yonav lezimin betachtona. Even if you did the opposite, you designated in the upper one and not in the lower one, uba umatsa be'el yonav alamatsa betachtona, and you came and found in the upper one and not in the lower one. So harachnami asiri, that is also Aser, even though it's a little more difficult for these non-flying birds to get up there. Because you have to assume that maybe the birds that you designated in this upper one flew away, and the other birds from lower down, you know, shimmied up the tree, and now they're shimmying up the coop, and now they're sitting in the upper one. So in either direction, you have to assume that it is Aser. Yeah.
Is this a machlokas
and metzias? Is it a machlokas how birds behave? I think you could make it into a halachic machlokas, and that is, we know how birds behave. There's a certain percentage that do such and such. The question is, what is the level of standard that you need to be able to rely on chazaka, to rely on this is the status quo? Every machlokas and metzias could usually be changed into a machlokas and halacha. And that is like here. No, everybody agrees what birds do. Some birds go up, but there's a certain percentage that go up. But the question is that percentage enough for our halacha? Can you assume that it's the ones that's there or not? So the Mishnah says that you have to assume that it came from outside. Okay, this is a mucker for the Are You My Mother book, right? Where the bird slides down, says mashmit, that's easy. So that's the first level of the Gemara. The Gemara says, no, that's pashut. So that we know, right? Afokla vafokla, everything's right here. Okay, first wide line. V'meisham Elohein hare elu mutarin. The last line of the Mishnah. If you only have the birds from your coop in the area, so then you have to assume it's mutter, even if they're in front of the Khan. If they put them in and you found them in front. So echidami. So what's the case that there are only those birds there from your Khan? Elema b'mifurach. Now we're talking about birds that can fly. So ikala meymar. So then you can't say that there are only these birds. Then you have to say ikala meymar hanach azul alma v'hani achrini ninhu. Then you have to say that maybe these are different if we're talking about flying birds. Ela b'medadin. So no, it must be talking about a case about birds that can't fly. Only ones that could walk a little bit. So then the Gemara says, so then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? It's either wrong or obvious. If there is another bird coop within 50 amos, so then adudim adude. So then we should have to assume that there was switching of birds that walked from a different khan into here, and maybe these are not the birds that you designated. V'daleka khan b'toch hamishim amma, and if there is no other coop within 50 amos, p'shita d'mutarin. So that is obvious that it's mutter. The Marukva bar Chama, because Marukva says, kol ha-medada in medada yos b'chamishim amma. Birds can't walk more than 50 amos. Non-flyable birds. So therefore, what's the Mishnah talking about? That there's nobody else there, but there's still a chiddush to tell me the halacha. If they're not around, then it's pashit. If they are around, then it's wrong. So the Olam says the Mishnah Gemara, Tika kan betoch hamishim amma. Really, there is another kan within 50 amos. All right, so what's the chiddush then? Uko de kaima bekeren zavis. But it's around the corner. It's around the corner. They're not in view of each other. So if the other bird from another kan has come here, so again, this is a Metzius issue. Chickens won't, baby chickens won't leave their nest too far. And even if it's close by, they wouldn't go somewhere where they can't see their nest anymore. Even if they can, they won't make the turn. So Uka go, so that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Maudete maduye adude, you might say that they're still going to walk here because it's within 50 amos. Kamash v'lan, kalhecha de bedada v'hadr chazalakine medada. Anytime that they can walk and turn around and see their nest, then they will walk. V'lo lo medada, and if not, they won't walk. Is the Mishnah coming to tell you a chiddush in behavior of birds? No, it's telling you, look over the behavior of birds, how it impacts the halacha. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It's within 50 amos, but it's around the corner. Okay, next Mishnah. I'll get back into away from birds a little bit. Says the Mishnah. Again, the next couple of Mishnayos we already alluded to yesterday when we quoted all the Mishnayos related to Simchas Yantif. Says the Mishnah. Beishami omrim einotunas ha'eli lakatzib alav basar. Beishami says you're not allowed to take an eli. An eli is some type of large board or pestle that is usually used for grinding other items, cement items, and other items, not food, but you're allowed to take that, you're not allowed to touch that, on Beis Shammai says, on Yantif, even if you want to cut meat on it. Why not? So this is a machlokas we had in Maseches Shabbos, a machlokas amoraim, what type of muksa is this eli? Machlokas there between Rabbah and Abaya, one says, it's a kli shemalachto le'isser, it's a kli that's usually used for an isser, like a pen, like a stapler, like a scissors. And the other shita there says that no, it is muksa machwas chesron kis. It's a fancy type of kli that you only use for its designated purpose. You would never use it for anything else. And therefore, that's the type of muksa that it is. That's the machlokas there. Another example is we discussed a few days ago on Daf Gimel, a bris mila knife. Bris mila knife also, according to the postman, has the status of muksa machmas chesron kis. That's what we discussed in Daf Gimel, the shiloh of what does the mole do after he does the mila? Does he have to drop it? Could he put it back in his bag? Could he wipe it off? So that's part of this, part of the issue of muksa machmas chesron kis. So Beis Shammai says, you can't touch this eli to cut meat on it. There's a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. So which opinion of that gemara are they holding like? Are they learning this gemara like? Says Rashi, like we alluded to yesterday, malachto l'isser. First wide line, Rashi says malachto l'isser. That it's klisha malachto l'isser. And the chiddush, according to Rashi, therefore is in shitas Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai says it's usser. So here, even though usually by a klisha malachto l'isser, you're allowed to move it, l'sarach gufa, l'sarach makomo, Beis Shammai's chiddush here is you can't. Ubeis hilo matirin, and Beis Hillel allows you to move it. It's mutter. Tosfos here, second Tosfos, argues with Rashi. He says that no. V'yesh lomar, the perakol akela mukmina leba muksa sheyesh bo chisaron kis. The kuliyam amodi de aser. Right, Tosfos says it's chesron kis case. According to Tosfos, Beis Hillel's the chiddush. That you're allowed to move this muksa machmas chesron kis. Why? Tosfos says, b'shem simchas yantif. B'shem simchas yantif can be doche muksa machmas chesron kis. That's a very important marker. According to Rashi's reading, we do not have a source that simchas yantif could push off muksa machmas chesron kis. Here we're talking about malach tel isser, and the chiddush is Beis Shammai. He says, you can't do it. But that is shitas Tosfos. There's another Ahara, the Meiri, and I think the Ran also says that it might be another reason why, according to Beis Shammai, according to Rashi, if it's a klisha malachto l'isser, does he generally not hold of the heter of l'sarach gufa l'sarach makomo? Or maybe specifically in this case, it's more of like an uvdin d'chol. This is a very weekday type of activity that you're engaged in. So that's another reason why, even if you do hold of klisha malachto l'isser, l'sarach gufa l'sarach makomo is generally mutter, but here you might not hold of it. That is machlokas number one in the Mishnah. Machlokas number two, Beis Shammai Yomrim, Ein Nosin Asar Lefnei Adursan, V'lo Yag Bihenu. You're not allowed after you shecht an animal on Yontif. So what do you do with the skin? Because you are mashed the animal, you skin the animal. So what do you do with the skin? So Beis Shammai says nothing. You can't put it on the floor in order to be trampled upon, which is the beginning stages. That will help preserve it a little bit until after Yontif. The real preservation is the malacha of ma'abed, tanning, putting it in a heavy, salty substance and turning it into leather. But the hides, otherwise, if they're just left out, they will spoil. So says Beis Shammai, so what? You can't put the skin in front of the door, son, even though you might be worried, if you don't allow him, then maybe he might not shecht in the first place because he knows the skin's going to go to waste. Beis Shammai says, too bad. You can't put the skin in front of the door, son, in front of the tramplers, and you can't even, part two of Beis Shammai, bo yai bihenu. You can't even touch it. Right after you shecht, you have to leave it. Why? It's muksa. You can't even touch it unless it has a kezayis basar on it. Yerushalmi, you see on the side, it says, that's it, because why kezayis basar? Any basar, then it makes it not less than a kezayis amount of food is muksa? No, so it says, Yerushalmi is not always the word kezayis here. So that's the shitas Beis Shammai, that you can't touch it and you can't put it in front of the dursan. Ubeisela matirin, and Beisela says, no, you are allowed to. You are allowed to. Tana, let's continue. We have what to talk about in a couple minutes. Tana, because we have to cover some. V'shavim shim kadav la'basash asal la'tal talo. Tana, they both agree that what happens after you use, getting back to the first machlokas, whether you're allowed to use the eli or not. Everybody agrees, though, even Beis Hillel, that after you use it, you can't touch it, you can't move it. Asal la'tal talo, after you used it. Amar Abaya, Machlokas, Be'eli, Abaya has another ha'ara on the Machlokas in the Mishnah. The Machlokas is only by an Eli, by the stone, by this board that is sometimes not used for food. So that's why there's a Machlokas about it. Avo B'Tavra Garmi, Dibri Akol Mutter. But by a Tavra Garmi, literally, Tavra means to break and Garmi means bones. A bone breaker, which is a board that's used by the butchers to chop meat on, so then everybody agrees, Divri Akol Mutter. That's for sure Mutter, because that's not a Muksa Machmas Chesron Kiss, and it's an Amalach to Lisser, according to Rashi and according to Tosas. So that's Abaya's statement. So they ask the Gemara, Pshita, Eli Tanan. What's the Chiddush? The Mishnah says, Eli. The Mishnah says, only this type of Kli, not that type. So what's the Chiddush of Abaya? 2 days. Number one, Ma'u the Tema Hu Adin Afidafilu Tavra Garmi Nami. No, you might have said, even a Tavra Garmi is Usser. Why would it be Usser? Why would it be Usser? It's a Kli that you always use in the kitchen. So Rashi says, maybe it's a Til Tircha Shalol Etzarech. It's a Tircha Shalol Etzarech to get such a big thing into your kitchen. It's like a butcher one. It's not used in a just a regular kitchen. So that's why you might have said the machlokas is even by a tav of the garmi. And the only reason it says the case of Eli in the Mishnah is to teach you koch that tera adif, that even in that case Beisilah would matir, kamash malan, that's the chiddush of Abaya. Know that everybody would agree by tav of the garmi that it is mutter and you don't have to worry about a tiltal shlo l'tzarech. A. How does Tosas read that line? Tosas reads that line, difficult. Difficult. I looked around a little bit, because according to Tosas, the issue is chesser and kiss. So it's a little difficult way of reading the Gemara. Again, the Gemara there in Shabbos has the Deah of chesser and kiss. That's what Tosas is based on. But how do you read this line? This line sounds like it was Malach to Lisser. Correct. Ika da Amrei. Ika da Amrei, a second answer. The Shidun Gbetzes points out here that this Ika da Amrei is an unusual usage of Ika da Amrei. Usually Ika da Amrei is a different version, similar of what previously we said. Here it just means the second answer. So he says, this Ikad Amri is different than the other Ikad Amris and Shas. So Ikad Amri, Amr Abaya, a second shot of what he meant by saying there's no machlokas by Tavar the Garmi, isn't it Pashid? Lo nitzrecha elafilu Tavar Garmi chadati. Even by a new chopping board that was never used yet. So there you might have said, Ma'od Tema Mimlach Lo Tavar Alei, Kamash Malon. No, there you might have said, maybe he's going to change his mind. Because he never used it before, so he's going to bring it into the kitchen. He's like, oh, I don't want to use this. It's so nice. It's so clean. I don't. So he might end up schlepping it and not using it. That's a tircha shlo l'tzarech. And you don't we have to be worried about that? If it's ever been used before, kamash malan, we do not have to be worried about it. Period. Okay. Ube Shammai we're up to. The Mishnah said that when you, in this last Mishnah, the Mishnah, well, let's first do read the question. Beis Shammai is not worried that you're going to change your mind. This is a kasha on Abaya. Because Abaya just said that everybody would agree in this Tavra de Garmi case that once you take something, you're not going to change your mind. So Abba Shammai is not worried about changing your mind after you schlep something. What about the following case? V'hatanya, the Tosefta says, V'shammai omrim, in molichin tabach v'tzaket etzel v'hema. You can't bring a slaughterer, of course, that's a man walking, so that, you don't really need that word in this price, so it basically means the knife. You can't bring the knife to the animal, v'lo v'hema etzel tabach v'tzaket. You can't bring the knife to the animal, the animal to the knife on yantif. Why? Because we're worried that after you schlep whatever it is, the animal, the knife, you're going to change your mind and not use it. And then what? So it's a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rashba. So Rashi here says, you're worried about a tiltus shalol tzarech. You're worried about, you're going to move something and then you're not going to use it in the end. That's what Rashi explains. The Rashba here says that it's not, where's the Rashba? The Rashba says, no, it's not based on an issue of tiltus shalol tzarech. The Rashba thinks it's an issue of hotza'ah. Something that we'll talk more about tomorrow. Mistavrali didafka mirushas harabin lirushas hayachid. So the only issue here that Beis Shammai is answering is from one rishus to another rishus. It's hotza'ah. And if you end up not using it, it'll be a hotza'ah shel ol tzarech. And as we're going to talk about tomorrow, hotza'ah is going to be mutter, according to many rishonim, only if there's a tzarech ksas. If you wanted to use this a little bit, and that's why hotza'ah is allowed on yantif. But if it's shel ol tzarech klal, then it might not be mutter. So said the Rashba, that's the issue here. It's not an issue of hachana. It's not an issue of maybe a tilde shel ol tzarech. Because it's an issue of hotza'ah. Ha rishus or ha yachin molichin. If you're within rishus yachin, of course it's mutter. And says the Rashba, if they're far away from each other in Rishus Hayachid, then what's the line? What's the cutoff of something far and something small? What's the limit of what if it's 10 yards away? What if it's on the other side of the house? What, in Rishus Hayachid, what's the limit? You can't keep the knife on top of the animal from before Yantif. So you obviously are bringing it from somewhere. So the Rashba thinks that, you know, it must be a Hotza issue, not a Kiruv and Rachog issue. This is Rashi's Avol Pirishkei. I understand that Rashi didn't say this, but this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rashba. What is going on here? You're not allowed to bring it either because you're worried about a achshash tiltush lo letzarech or achshash hotzaas lo letzarech. That's Beis Shammai. One second. Beis Hillel says, no problem. You're allowed to be molich one to the other. Let's just finish the line and then we'll come back. There's a lot to talk about here. Let's just finish it first. Beis Shammai says, similar case. You can't bring spices next to the chopper. You're going to chop spices to put into your food. Why? Because we're worried that if you bring the chopper, you'll decide you don't want to spice your food. And Beis Hillel, and you can't do it either way. Therefore, Beis Hillel says, you're allowed to. So the Gemara asks, from here, from this Tosefta, we see that Beis Shammai is worried about mind changes in the future. So why does Abaya explain our Mishnah that by a Tavra de Garme, by this other type of board, even Beis Shammai would agree that it's mutter and he's not worried that you're going to change your mind by a new one? So Gemara says, no, a big difference. Hachi Hasha, wait a second. Bishlam Abayim Asilim Luchay, by an animal to a knife and vice versa. There you're worried. Why? Because you might just bring an animal and you're going to say, oh, this one is not fat enough. I want a fatter animal. You might change your animal because there's a pot also. You might decide not to put spices in because there's a chance, there's a possibility for you to switch. But over here by the meat, what are you going to do? You shechted the animal already. What are you going to do with the meat? Mimlach vol tavar. What, you're not going to use it? Keep it the shechted l'tzvira kaima. Once you shechted, of course you're going to need this board, and therefore there's no worry that you're going to change your mind. Yeah, Yisrael.
According to Rashi, at the time that you moved it, your das was for a purpose. So why you changed mine later? So why does it retroactively
become? So ask Yisrael, Rabbi Chanan's kasha. And Rabbi Chanan does not answer this question. He leaves it Betzarach in. He says, I don't know what's the problem here. What does Beis Shammai say? Beis Shammai says you can't schlep this animal to kshet because you might change your mind. What are you talking about? What do you mean? When you brought this animal, did you have in mind that you were going to use it? Yes. So what's the problem? Let's say you cook something on Yantif because you're hungry, and then all of a sudden, you know, after you did it, you know, you get a stomachache. You're not gonna eat it. What? So you were mavashal on Yantif shalol tzarech? Says the Rabbi Chanan, and we even go as far as to say what? We had a Gemara in Psachim, that if it's an hour left, what's the whole basis of Erev Tashilin? How do you make it? There's a shita that says cooking from Yontif to Shabbos might be Daraisa. So what do you do? Hoil! Because guests might come now, and therefore what I'm doing is not a Daraisa. So you're not even hungry, you're cooking because guests might come. So if it's for you, and you change your mind, how is that bad? And he doesn't answer the question. He just doesn't understand the Gemara. He says, "V'kasha demay b'kach demimlach." Who cares that you're going to change your mind? Mikomakom b'shasha hotzi hayibadaito lishchot. You had in mind. V'atu hamavashal kedelechol b'yantif v'achach lo yochal yavar lo mafreya al bishulo. says, I don't understand that. He says, Vitzarech Ian. Does not answer the kasha. It's a strong kasha. Why should there be any worry? Who cares that you're going to change your mind? It's not a tiltel shlo Vitzarech. It was a tiltel Vitzarech, and then you change your mind. So Rabbi Chanan here in the Kovet Shiurim does not answer the question. He just makes that ha'ar. There's an important ra'ah on this Gemara. The ra'ah, it's in this Kovetz Rishonim, Amaseches Beitza. The ra'ah asks on this issue, Beis Hillel, right, says in these cases you're allowed to. You're allowed to schlep the animal, you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that. Ask the ra'ah, why shouldn't you have to make all the arrangements before Yantif? Why can't you bring the animal, let's say according to the Rashba, right? The ra'ah, let's say, is the ra'ah is one of the Rebbeim of the Rashba. The ra'ah and the Rashba were both Rebbeim of the Ritva. So let's assume, like the ra'ah and the Rashba, assuming like the ra'ah holds Hotzah. I'm not sure if he holds the Hotzah approach, but let's assume that he does he say it Beferish? No. Okay, so let's assume that. Say, ask the Rashba, why shouldn't you have to make all the arrangements beforehand? Why shouldn't you have to bring the animal beforehand? Why do you have to rely on this? So he says, you know what you see from here, and this is something that I wanted to talk about earlier, and I said, we'll come back to it one day. So here's that one day. Says the Ra'ah, you know what this proves? How do you look at the heter of Ochal Nefesh and Yantif? It's what we call Hutra. We have a discussion in a number of places in Halacha, Hutra versus Dechuya. For example, Tumah, when the whole Tzibur is Tameh on Erev Pesach. So the concept is, Tumah, you're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. So is that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur or Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur? Do we say the whole Isser is nullified as if it does not exist? Or do we say Dechuya, it's there, but it's pushed aside? Number one. Number two, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. I know that Pikuach Nefesh is Doch on Shabbos, and if Rachman al-San, somebody's life's in danger, you're allowed to drive to the hospital. So what is that? How is that viewed in Halacha? There is an Isser, but you're allowed to push it away in order to do the Malacha. Or do you say, no, it's Hutra. It's not even there. So that is a major discussion in the Poskim and in the Gemara. So says the Ra'ah that there's a third case. So we have Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur and Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. We have Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. And there are nafkaminas lahalacha. Right? Do you have to try to get a guy, for example? We discussed Machalos Machav and the Ramah. That might be based on Tumah Hutra Dechuya. If it's totally Hutra, then do it yourself. This doesn't exist. If there's a way out of it, then by Hutra, you don't have to look for the way out. By Dechuya, you have to look for the way out, because the Issa still exists, it's just pushed aside. Says the Ra'ah, there's a third case to talk about. What about Ochal Nefesh on Yantif? We know there's an Issa to do Malacha. On Yantif, there's a Heter to cook. So how do you look at that heter to cook? Ochal nefesh. Is that dechuya? There are isurim, but you have a heter to cook? Or do you say hutra? Says the Ra'ah, you know what this Gemara approves? Hutra. Even though by pikuach nefesh on Shabbos it's a heter of dechuya, here it's hutra, and therefore you don't have to make specific arrangements before Yantif. That's the biggest nafkamina between hutra and dechuya. What if you have another way out? Is it still mutter? So the Ra'ah says, here you have another way out, and it's still mutter. That's what he says. Ha'cha kivan to hutra legamre Yantif eitz al ochal nefesh. So therefore, it is mutter, and you don't have to go out of your way to try to get out of the situation. This is the shita of the Ra here. This is the shita of the Ran as well. The Ran says on Daftes Amabez in the Dafi Arif. The Ran, this is the one. He's the one who people quote as hutra. The Ran says this is in the beginning of the second paragraph. We're going to talk about Marba Bishurin. The Ran says, don't compare Shabbos to Yantif. Shabbos dechuyahu eitzel hachole v'lo hutra. Shabbos is pikuach nefesh is dechuya. If you have another way out, you can't be mechal Shabbos. Mashiki by Yantif, it's hutra, and therefore the case that he's talking about is mara b'shiurin. You're allowed to cook even more than you want if it's all in one big pot. That's the Ran in Beis on Daf Tes. There is, though, Achronim point out that there is here maybe even a third category. Usually we have hutra and dechuya. But there's a third category here, and that's the Ramban al Torah. Rav Shechter points this out in the Sefer, but it's the Ramban al Torah. The Ramban says maybe Ochel Nefesh, the other Ochel Nefesh, it's not even Hutra; it's more than Hutra. It was never Ne'asar in the first place. What does Hutra mean? That the Heter knocks out the Isser, and the Isser doesn't even exist anymore. But says the Ramban al Torah, it's not even Hutra. Ochel Nefesh, the Melechat Ochel Nefesh was never included in the Yisr in the first place. Because what does the Torah say you're not allowed to do on Shabbos? On Shabbos it says, Kol Melecha Lo Sa'asu. What does it say on Yantif? Kol Meleches Avoda Lo Sa'asu. That's the language of Pashas Emor. Meleches Avoda you're not allowed to do. Says the Ramban, what's the opposite of Meleches Avoda? Meleches Hana'a. Meleches Hana'a, meaning cooking on Yantif, that's not even included in the Yisr. You don't need the heter to knock out the iser. There's dechuya, there's chutra, and then there's eino nasar klal. That's how the Ramban views the heter of ochel nefesh. Al pirish malachas avoda. What's malachas avoda? Anything that's not ochel nefesh. Kedin shenemar sheishes yemen tavod v'sisa kol malach techo v'chol avoda basadeh. U'malachas yiba ochel nefesh yimalachas hana'a v'malachas avoda. That's the Ramban in Perachav Gimel and Parshas Emor. So according to the Ramban, this context of ochel nefesh is even more than chutra. You have dechuya, you have chutra, and then you have eino Nasar klal, and you don't even need the heter to allow it. So that is the ra'ah here. The ra'ah in Beis Daf Yud Aleph is one of the shitos that say ochel nefesh is hutra on yantif, and therefore you have more flexibility than, for example, the heter of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. Okay, two dots. Let's continue now. Says the Gemara, Beishami Omrei, Nosar Sa'ars, we had a machlokas in the Gemara about the skin. So Beishami says you can't put the skin in front of being trampled, and you can't even lift it up unless it has a kizayis basar on it. So Beishami says you can't. Tana v'shovin shamochet ala basar litzli. But, says the Braisa, they both agree that, let's say it's on the, you can't put it in front of the tramplers, but let's say it's on the floor in front of you. You're allowed to salt your meat a little bit above the skin, and oh, look, the salt fell down on the skin that's on the floor under you, and it preserves it a little bit. Right? You're not allowed to salt it. Salting is the same thing as trampling. Basically, that's the same thing. It preserves the skin. So you're not allowed to directly do it, but if you're salting your meat, which you have to salt your meat, generally, to get out the blood. So if you do that, you are allowed to do that, and some of the salt will fall on the floor, on the skin under. But the Gemara points out, litzli. What does litzli mean? When you salt something before you cook it, you have to salt it a lot to get the blood out, because everything's going to stay in your pot. But if you roast something, let's say on a barbecue, let's say on a spit, the blood's going to fall down to the floor anyway. So you mean much less salting when you're being salting litzli, when something's going to be roasted, because a lot of the blood falls out by itself. So that's what the Gemara here says. You're only allowed to be moleach your basar, the amount of salt litzli, not the amount of kadera, which is for cooking. So it's a small amount, and that's exactly why the Ra'ah here also says that's why you're allowed to do this, because only a little bit of salt's going to fall onto the bottom, and therefore that's why it would be mutter. So v'shavet ala basar, let's smoke it ala basar, let's sleep. So you could salt some your meat, and then some of the salt will fall on the skin underneath. Amar Abai, Loshana Litzli, Abai says only, like I just said, the amount Litzli, Avala Kadera, but a lot of salt that you would normally do, Likadera, to salt a piece of meat to put in your pot, lo, that part, that much you're not allowed to do. Pshita Litzli Tan, so obvious, Abai says Litzli, of course, the Braisa says Litzli, what's the Chiddush of saying only Litzli? Hakamash Malan, Dafil Litzli Kein Kadera Aser. No, you might say, even Sli Kein Kadera, which Rashi explains, what does it mean, Kein Kadera? When the Abaya says, but l'kedera is going to be usser, it even means that you are doing it with sleep, but you're just throwing in more. Throwing in more. So it's not as much l'kedera, but it's just more than sleep, that's also going to be usser. That's the chiddush according to Abaya. Period. Tanur Rabbanon, Emochet Zachalovim Ve'mahavkin Bohen. The Tanakama says, what about the fats on Yontif? You shechted an animal on Yontif, and you're going to eat the meat. What about the fats? You're not going to do anything with the fats, not a carbon, you're not going to burn them, so you can't salt them. You're going to be able to use the fats, let's say, for fuel, right? But you can't eat the fats. Fats is a chaylev, is an iser aser lechol, but there's no iser hana. So you're not allowed to salt it because that's not a tzarech of yantif. Vei mahavkan behed, you can't even turn them over, right? You can't even turn them over to air them out so they don't get rotten. Mishur Rabbi Yeshua Amru, shot the baruch agabi yaseidos. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you're allowed to put it on pegs to, like, air it out so it's not dafka on the floor. Amru, if master alacha Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, oh, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. Ika da Amri, Amr Masa, ain't halacha like Rabbi Yeshua. Another version, no, he says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Are you allowed to put the meat, the fats on these pegs? So Bishop Alamad Amr halacha Rabbi Yeshua, according to the one that it says the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, I understand why he had to say that. Isrich, why? Salgad adachamina yachad rabim halacha rabim. I normally would have said, if you have a rabim arguing on a yachid, you go like the rabim. So that's why he had to come on and say, no, here the halacha is like the yachid. That's the chiddush. Kamashalat alacha giyachid. Elamant amar ein alacha. But according to the version that he says the alacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua, so why do you have to say that? Pshita. Yachad v'rab alacha rabim. I know that the alacha is like the rabim. Why do you have to say the alacha is like not like Rabbi Yeshua? Our answer is no. Ma'od etevim mstavar time with Rabbi Yeshua. You might have said that even though usually you follow the rabim, but here your Rabbi Yeshua has a very good svara. De'i lo sharis lay mimna v'lo shachid. Because if you don't allow him to salt the fats, maybe he won't shecht in the first place. That's a good svara. That would have been the Havamina that would pass on like Rabbi Yeshua. Kamash Malon. We don't go like Rabbi Yeshua, even though he has a good svara. So we pass in that you're not allowed to put the feet, the fats, onto the pegs. Ask the Gemara, Maishtame Orlefei Adursan. What's the difference between our Mishnah's case, where Beis Hillel allows you to take the skin and put it on the floor in front of the tramplers? And he doesn't say that's muksa. Well, he says the fats are muksa. Says the Gemara, no, there's a big difference. Ha sam lo mukhach milsa. There, it's not obvious. Mishun dechazi lemizgalaya. There, it's not obvious that you're doing, it's moving something that's shalol etzarech. Because people will say that where you're bringing your skin, you're going to sit on it. Like we said yesterday, it has a Torah's kli. You can sit on it. So people will think you're putting it on the floor to sit on. And the Rashba even adds, if somebody will come and ask a shiloh, am I allowed to put this down in front of the tramplers, we're not going to tell him yes, we'll tell him, you know, go sit on it a little bit. And then if he leaves it there, you know, so then we'll allow him to leave it there. But here, by the fats, what are people going to say when they see you put it on the pegs? Why do the Rabbanan allow you to put it on the pegs so it doesn't get spoiled? So what's the difference between putting it on the pegs or salting it? It's all the same, and they might come to do actual malicha, which is a problem. Period.
What is it?
Sorry, he doesn't want the fats to spoil. He's going to use the fats, let's say, for fuel, for some other type of purpose. He can't eat it, but he can use it for other types of hana. Next four lines, small three lines, but there's a lot of Torah written on them. Amar Yudam Shmuel. Molech Adam Kama Chatichos Bas Bas Achas. Shmuel says that even though we said you're not allowed to salt a lot of salting above the skin, but what you're allowed to do is if it's all one tircha, let's say you could have one thing of salt that you pour on at once, and you do it the same for one and for 10 pieces of meat. So you're not doing any extra tircha for the amount that you have. So that you're allowed to do, because there's no extra tircha. You're allowed to do it all bibas achas. Even though you only plan to use one piece of meat, but you want to get a lot of salt on this thing underneath, and therefore that is what you're allowed to do. Rav Ada bar Ava, ma'arim umalech garma. Rav Ada bar Ava was ma'arim. He used a little, quote, trickery. Haram is the trickery, and he was salted garma. What does that mean? Rashi explains, he took a piece of meat, and he salted it. He's like, I don't want this piece of meat. I don't want that piece of meat. And he took another piece of meat. He salted it. He's like, I don't want this piece of meat. I'll take another piece of meat. Until he had 25 pieces of meat salted, and the ore that he was standing on was totally salted, he was allowed to use this ha'arama. So the poskim here talk about this concept of ha'arama. The Mordechai here says that haram is only allowed by a Talmud Chacham. Rav Adabar Ava. Because, you know, you don't want people to be porates geder, says the Mordechai. But other people are not allowed to use it. The Beis Yosef says no. The Beis Yosef says that this Gemara doesn't quote any limit. It quotes a Rav, but it doesn't say it's only limited to Talmidei Chachamim. But other people are also allowed to use Ha'aramis. But the most important shita on this is the Rashba. The Rashba here says, Ein omrim baharamos zu dome lazu. You can't compare ha'aramos. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about a harama, talking about a harama about taking ma'aser sheni, taking your tevel, your tefuah through the window, so it's not chayv in ma'aser sheni. The Gemara sometimes talks about quote unquote trickery. Ha'arama. Says the Rashba, you cannot compare. Every harama is a different case. You know, you might say that here, why do you have to do a harama here? Not because you did anything wrong, it's Simchas Yontif. And you want to make sure that you shecht in the first place. You might not shecht if you salt your skin. That's why this harama might be allowed. But for example, they contrast this harama with what we're going to have in the next paragraph, Daf Yud Zayin. Let's say somebody did not put down an Erev Tavshilin. So do we allow him to, you know, put an Erev Tavshilin using I want this food now, using tricks? The Gemara says, no, we don't allow him to use tricks. Why can't he be Marim? The answer is there, it's his fault. He forgot to put an Erev Tavshilin. Here, it's nothing his fault. It's just because of Simchas Yontif. So says the Rashba here, don't compare Ha'arama to Ha'arama. The big discussion of Ha'arama comes up. When does it come up? Where's the issue of Ha'arama that comes up? Comes up, Pesach. Selling your chametz for Pesach. Is that, come on. Selling the chametz. Is he really going to come and take my chametz? Is the non-Jew going to take my chametz? Is that a Ha'arama? So that is why there are those, the Makar Chaim has a big discussion about this in Tuf Mem Ches, the Nesivis, in his commentary on Hilchas Pesach. There's some that says, maybe not. Maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe that's a Ha'arama. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Ha'aramas are only allowed by Durabanans, not by Da'oraisas. Therefore, maybe this is in the world of Darabana, therefore you shouldn't do it. So Makar Chaim explains, no. What's Ha'arama usually in the Gemara? Ha'arama in the Gemara is when you're doing something wrong. You're really doing something wrong. When you're doing something wrong, the question is, do you have to try to hide it or not? That's the Ha'arama in the Gemara. What happens by Pesach? The motivation might be a Ha'arama type of motivation, but halachically, it's solid. We do five different kinyanim, the non-Jew owns the chametz. That's not Ha'arama. It has the halakhic mechanism and it's on solid ground. That's not Daraisa. That's not the right. That's not the haram that's talked about in the Gemara. That's a halachically valid way of selling. You sell your chametz. The guy owns the chametz. We do kinyachatzer. We shake a hand. We do money. We do so many different kinyanim to make sure it works. But again, that is not, that the motivation might be like, hey, it's a little shady, but that is not a harama. So that is the example of chametz, that's the example of prisbo, that's the example of various times we find in the Gemara, cases where there's a tzorech, so therefore the chazal made it for a certain need, but that's not a, again, it's topic for a separate shiur, we don't have time, but that's not, you know, tricking. That is a different, that's, the motivation might look something like tricking, but that's not like the haramas of the Gemara, where here you're salting your skin, which you're not supposed to do, and you're using harama. That's the Makor Chayim, an important Shita in the end of Siman Tuf Mem Ches, the Nesivus' commentary on Hilchos Pesach. Okay, there's more to talk about Harama, but we have to do a little more. Beishamay Omrim, three more minutes. Beishamay Omrim, again, we had referred to this yesterday. Remember, they had markets, they had stores. Got to come back. We'll come by doctors in a minute. Right? Beishamay says they used to have boards in front of their stores, and what they do when they wanted to sell their wares, they took off the boards in front of the stores, they put it down, and they put their wares on it. So it says Beishamay, you're not allowed to take off those trisim on Yontif. Beishamay said, not only can you take them off, you can even put them back. Machlokas. My trisim, what are trisim? Amar ula, trisim chanuyos. That means the trisim, the boards of the stores. V'yomar ula, here's ula. Shlosha dvar mitirusafim mishim tchilasan. Three times, says ula, we allow something because if we wouldn't allow it at the end, then they wouldn't even do the beginning. And we want the people to do the beginning. We want people to do Act A, so we'll allow Act B, which is kind of shady and usher, in order that they do Act A. The Eluhain, what are those three cases? Arlof Ne'adursan, which is the last Mishnah we had, putting the skin down in front of the tramplers. Betrisei Chanuyos, which is this Mishnah. The Chazaras Matiyah Mikdash, and also taking off a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? But why do we allow you to take off a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash and put it back on after the Kohen does the Avodah? Because we're worried if we don't allow him to take the bandage off and then put it back on, he might just do the Avodah with his bandage, and then that would be a Chatzitza in the Avodah. There can't be Chatzitzas between the Kohen and the Kalim. So therefore, we even allow him to put the bandage back on in the Beis HaMikdash. For Rechava, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, he has a fourth case. The halacha is that on Yantif, we say everybody has the status of being Tahar, even if you're an Amma Aretz, halachically. Usually an Amma Aretz has to be treated as a Tameh, but on Yantif, you can be treated as Tahar. What happens if you open the barrel on Yantif to give some out, and then you had some left over, and now Yantif's finished? So do you have to say, oy vey, Yantif's finished, and now I have to assume that people who touched it on Yantif were Tameh, and now my barrel's Tameh? Or do I say, no, because you had the Heter on Yantif, then you can finish the whole barrel. So Rabbi Yehuda has a Shita that you're allowed to finish the whole barrel. You know why? Because if you don't allow him to finish the whole barrel, he's not going to open it on Yantif. Because he's going to be worried he's going to have left over. So again, a fourth case where we allow the end because of the beginning. So now the Gemara is about to ask, all these four cases are in Mishnayos. So why? What's the Chiddush of Ula? Ula says that there are four cases of Yidurusov and Mishit Chlasan, three or four. So what's the Chiddush? The Gemara is going to go through each one now, explaining what is the Chiddush of Ula by these cases. Okay, for just 90 seconds. Okay, I referred to this yesterday. Famous machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe says, what happens, and this was written to Chavrei Hatzalah, Tavshin Lamed Ches, 1978. Right, Shia, you want to get up? You want to take over? No? So says the Rav Moshe in Chelek Dalet Simen Pei, says Rav Moshe, if somebody goes with an ambulance, go somewhere on Shabbos, and he wants to come back, is he allowed to drive the ambulance back? Is he allowed to drive the ambulance back? Not if, says Rav Moshe, if you need the ambulance back in the first place, because there might be another person who's sick, then for sure it's mutter. That's pikuach nefesh. But let's say Rav Moshe, even in a case where they have enough ambulances in the original place, so there's no issue of sakana, they can stay at the hospital, they can stay wherever they are. Are they allowed to come back? Says Rav Moshe, Kitiru sofan mishum tchilasan. They're allowed to drive back. Is it better to have a guy drive back? For sure. But if you're not going to find a guy, they're allowed to drive the ambulance back, because if you don't allow them to drive back, says Rav Moshe, they wouldn't go in the first place. And they'd be choshes, and their family wouldn't let them go in the first place, and whenever they get a call, they'll say, no, I don't want to go. Rav Moshe has a long shuva here, but it's based on this discussion right here. Itir Hashem Mishim is based on a diak and a tosfos and Erevin and the Rashba here. But either way, that's Rav Moshe's kula that you have, and many hatzalas rely on this kula. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that in all these cases, only Itzurei Derabbanans are allowed. Itir Hashem Mishim Tchilasan. You never find a Daraisa being allowed. He says, and he quotes Rav Moshe in the Mincha Shlomo Simen Ches. He says, I don't know where, he says, Rav Moshe, Michilas Kvodo, he says, he argues vehemently. He says, they never allowed Daraisas because he threw a Sovereign Vishit Chilasan, and the Diyah from the Rashba here, he argues on, but that is the Shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman, that only Darabbanans are allowed. So you can have a guy drive you back. You could have a guy drive you back, but you can't drive back as a Jew. You have to stay there. We don't allow. And even though he says there will be Achinu B'nai Yisrael who will not go if they know they can't get back. See, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, what can I do? If it's Asa Daraisa, it's Asa Daraisa. I can't change the fact. So that is a machloka between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, and there are different atzolas in different neighborhoods that paskin like different poskim. Again, is it best to have a guy? Yeah, it's best to have a guy if you can have a guy drive the ambulance back if you work it out. But if somebody's, if a doctor's on call, can he drive back? But again, that's the chiddush of Rav Moshe based on this Gemara. Even by Daraisa, as Rav Moshe assumes. Rav Shlomo Zalman says only Darabanas. There's a nice footnote in the Rashba here where he quotes from Rav Yashiv, you know, different nafkaminas and lumdis around this topic. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here, and we will pick up tomorrow. Okay, the rest of the Yomid goes pretty quickly, so, Hashem. Tomorrow we talk about Mitoch. Mitoch is the big topic tomorrow.